was victorious. He survived temptation in the desert, and he survived the trial and tribulation of the crucifixion, that death could not hold him, and he was resurrected as man. And he came by your disciples, and then he ascended to heaven, and he returned in spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that Holy Spirit is still with us now. Amen. So, who is the Comforter that Jesus mentions? And why do the disciples, the apostles, need comforting? Well, these two questions are quite profound, especially for the followers of Jesus in the early church. If you imagine yourself to be an early apostle, there's no benefit of hindsight. And Pentecost didn't exist. That word, well, that name for the event came after the event, of course. Pentecost was, in fact, the Hebrew season of harvest, which was called the season of weeks. But you've got these apostles, they're pretty wide-eyed, perplexed, most probably confused, and certainly fearful. They're still hiding behind closed doors, or going around Jerusalem and Palestine looking over their shoulder. They've seen all these amazing things and marvelous things in the ministry of Jesus. And then they saw Jesus essentially murdered on a cross after a rigged trial. And then he appeared to them, resurrected and alive, eating food. Not a ghost or a phantom, but a fully human person carrying the scars of his torture and affliction. Confused.com, what in heaven's name is going on? And then these cryptic prophetic messages that Jesus shared when he was alive, I'm sure they would have come back to them as events unfolded. And this is possibly one of them we've heard in the gospel. You shall be sent a comforter, a spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father. And then what did he say next? They might have discussed amongst themselves. Because you're going to get a right kicking and you will need a comforter. And he also said, and it's going to be so bad that the people who think they're doing God a favour, they will be the ones that will do you in. But don't worry, Jesus says, it will all work out. So who is this comforter that Jesus was sharing as a sort of prophecy to his disciples before he passed away, before he ascended? Well, I would say 100% that the comforter is what we understand to be the Holy Spirit. And the comforter replaces the ascended Christ. As Christ goes into heaven to prepare a place for all believers then and thereafter, including us, he sends his replacement to earth, the Spirit of truth, unity, and concord. Replacement is probably not the right word. I think the technical word is allos, meaning of another, or in addition, or transition, or transposed. But let's use the word replacement. The transition from Christ, the resurrected man, to the force of Spirit is marked by the events that become, as we know, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit on Pentecost descends on his disciples, and the Holy Spirit has been with us ever since. As mentioned already, Pentecost just means 50th. I'm in my Pentecost decade, for example, being 58. But it was 50 days after the Hebrew Maundy Thursday, the Hebrew meal, and it is their celebration of harvest. So Pentecost is an appropriate time. If you think about some of the metaphors of wheat and tares and the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about, Pentecost is a good, appropriate time for the Holy Spirit to come, because it's like a harvester, I think, separating people, knowing the intent and truth within our hearts. So the 50th day, when the disciples gathered under their harvest moon, down comes the Comforter in the form of a fire. The disciples there at present burst into song in all the languages of the world. The gospel message, you see, is for all peoples, regardless of their race, creed, or geographic state or position. There's no special tribe anymore. There's no special race or people exclusive for God. The message of the gospel is to unite the world in love through the Holy Spirit, marked by the cross of Christ and powered by the Comforter, his Spirit. The cross is like the socket, the connection, and the Comforter like the current flow. And I love the word proceedeth, as in the King James Version or in our liturgy. The same word used in the Creed. Proceedeth is like an animation. It's like an animation, an outpouring. You know, it sort of proceeds from the source of love. I can't think of a better word. The Comforter proceedeth from the Father. You see, it's not the shouting and hollering of charismata, as some people would like the Holy Spirit to be, but something more subtle and gentle, but at the same time with force, direction and magnitude. The Holy Spirit is not clatter and noise, which is why St. Paul says, you know, without, you know, worship without love is just a clanging cymbal. The Holy Spirit, often in the Old Testament, comes as a gentle breeze on the cheek. It can be like a storm, like fire, but it proceeds. And as it proceeds, it travels in its own way, sometimes running, sometimes being still. And proceedeth is ancient and constant. Ancient and constant. So why Comforter? Well, the gospel stirred up tremendous fury and anger at the time. You can read about it in Acts. Saul was a terror and he was a murderer. In AD 36, he ordered and approved the stoning of St. Stephen, the temple evangelist. St. Stephen so enraged the Sanhedrin in the temple courts, he was dragged out and stoned under the watchful gaze of Saul. St. Stephen is often therefore depicted in ancient paintings and icons carrying a basket of stones. These words of Jesus that the disciples would need a comforter could not have been more precise. And Stephen is just the first of hundreds of thousands of martyrs since. The accounts alone in the ancient world of martyrdom are horrific, from the Romans right through to modern times. And today, the persecution of Christians is no different. And it goes, of course, under the radars of the news bulletins because the media support is often anti-Christian and pays little attention. But Christian faith in this is not of this world. And Christian faith carries on despite the world. There's, if you want to find out more, the Barnabas Fund or the St. Barnabas Aid Trust or the Catholic Trust, the Barnabas Society, they all work to draw attention to the areas of the world where Christians are still persecuted, and they fight earnestly to release Christians that are imprisoned for their faith. And it's absolutely shocking that in these days, despite our freedom and rule of law and democracy and modern communication, these individuals are still persecuted intolerably because they choose to follow Christ. It was only up to recently that Christians were persecuted, severely persecuted in communist countries such as the former Soviet Union. And persecution happens in our society too. We're very fortunate, but the mild bullying at work, or the ostracism, or the blasphemy and the mockery that we see in our media, on our television, and we hear, is all a form of persecution. Not imprisonment for martyrdom, but that could change in a turn of a coin. The hatred towards God and those who are blessed by the Holy Spirit enrages evil and evil-minded people. And it's always there under the surface. So we need to be watchful and alert. and pray as we do in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. And just like Jesus saying about the synagogues of the time, people will kill you because they're thinking they're doing God a favour. It's in our churches as well. And I would say, don't be one of those. Or be alert to that. I'm going to leave you with a positive message because it's a wonderful passage. Ascension and Pentecost is a wonderful time. If you are feeling persecuted in your faith, there's everything to worry about, but nothing to worry about, because you will receive benediction, blessing and salvation like no other. I began asking, why do we need a comforter? And who is our comforter? Well, I would say, yes, we need a comforter. I need one all the time. And being a believer, you need to be comforted, because being a person in faith, in Christian faith, is hard work and most likely to be uncomfortable. And if your Christian faith is not uncomfortable, ask God why not. Christian faith is life-changing, and change is uncomfortable. If you want to be a conservative small c, I might add, Christianity is probably not for you. But Christianity is a life-changing experience. Being a Christian is an act of faith, but also it's an act of risk, even stupidity, as St. Paul says. I'm the biggest fool, he calls himself. But you are called. You have been called by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You, me, and other people that profess to be Christians, you're marked by the Holy Spirit. So do not grieve the Spirit. And I don't mean it in that sense in the letter of St. Paul, but I mean, allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Don't block its path, because it will comfort you and it advocates on your behalf. It's a two-way process. As you sit here, the Holy Spirit is speaking on your behalf to God the Father in the court of heaven. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, for your life, your freedom, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. Amen.